Well, tonight I've got an announcement to make. It's about a party that's happening. You don't gonna want to miss this one. You know what? The invitations have been prepped. Guest list is complete. Been well thought through. A lot of preparation. They've already been sent. But I would say the guest list is really quite large, so be sure to RSVP really quickly. And you know what? The perfect venue has been found. And of course, food, crazy good. You'll love it. The greatest entertainment, the MCs, helpers, caterers, all been taken care of already. Oh, and did I mention you're the guest of honor? Our hosts, God and His Son Jesus Christ, they invite you to take your honored place by sitting down right there with them at the head table, all free, all as a gift. Guess what? No charge. Completely free. Your admission already been paid. And guess what? Remember those political fundraisers where they charge $50,000 a plate? This one has already been bought and paid for. So just come on in, accept the invitation, sit down, and enjoy. I'm reminded tonight again of this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us what? Sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But I want to say this a little more emphatically. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. We were dead in trespasses and sin. He made us alive together with Christ. It's grace that we've been saved, how we've been saved. And in that process, He raised us up together with Christ, all of us, and made us, each one of us who accepts the invitation to come to the table. He made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been chosen. We've been called. We have been invited. And now we can rightfully take our place. But like most things, we have to choose. Because there are other choices out there for us to make, or maybe at times we already have made. You know, I can live like somebody who's trying to earn a seat at whatever table happens to mean the most to me in any given season of life. Here's an example of some tables which appear in various forms, one or another. And possibly you have different tables that you've sat down at. Generally we share many of the same struggles. And these recommendations were made by someone in an article that I was reading who's a female, and so these kind of will fall more in line with a female perspective, but you'll see the point. So here they are. The smart person's table. Kind of saying, I will earn the PhD, publish prolifically, and earn a seat with the prestigious professors. Or how about this one? The thin and beautiful table. I will work out harder, diet more, buy new clothes, and consider new beauty treatments. Or maybe you've sat at the good wife and mother table. I will keep a clean home, prepare delicious meals, plan creative and intellectually enriching activities, and then in her case, blog every day to show how great we're doing. Or maybe the published authors table. I will write book after book and one day be honored. Or the fruitful Christian missionary table. I will serve till exhaustion and lead others to faith so I can be somebody to my church. Or the wealthy family table. I would just earn more money. Or what we would call the famous table. You know what? I will be known for something. Anything. So there's a lot of tables out there that this particular person identified with. And maybe we can relate. Maybe you've got other things that you can relate to. The intelligence, smart person, beauty, trying to be the best person you can be. Maybe it's some sort of intellectual pursuit, trying to prove that you're worth having a seat at the table. But you know what this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, right? We've been raised us up. God raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. It says already, I'm seated with him. I have a place at the table. I can stop fighting to prove how worthy I am because I'm seated at the table. I'm invited to gaze at the head, Jesus Christ, and allow him to set me free from both self-exalting and self-condemning behaviors. This is her continuing to write in this article. I'm seated in a place that invites God's provision. I'm seated in a place that allows me to bear fruit for God's kingdom. I'm seated at a place where I belong with Jesus Christ and with other believers, and I won't ever have to battle loneliness, exclusion, or loneliness and comparison again. Wow, very powerful words. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. We'll be reading through 21. You've been invited. And it's like we have to maybe reread that invitation every day, sometimes every moment of every day, to remember that we've already been seated and not to lose sight of that. And so this is my prayer. This can be your prayer. And maybe substitute these words in there with your name, which I'll do just as an example. Verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me, Barney, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding, who, Barney, Wally, Deanne, Norma, that they would be enlightened, that I would know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, meaning collectively as the body, according to the working of his mighty power, which he did wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and guess what? Set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, and might, and dominion, every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And to reiterate and restate this wonderful truth in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And you know how it starts, guys. I can hear you through the phone line. But God. Just say it with me, will you? But God. But God. Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were so far out of it and so far down the food chain and so in such a place we wouldn't even maybe recognize if we got an invitation. Even when we were dead trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Somehow we woke up and we got the invitation and we said, all right, I'm going. You might say, well, some people might say, I don't really like parties. I don't really like to, you know, be the center of attention. I don't like to, you know, be around a lot of other people. Hey, I'm not saying you're the center of the attention. You're the center of this universe. You're a beloved child of God. You're a son or daughter of God Almighty. You don't say that in an inflated, prideful, egotistical way because it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what this verse says. Because of his great love with which he loved us, when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ because of grace. And then he did a wonderful thing. He raised us up together. When Christ arose from the dead, we arose with him. And then when he ascended, we ascended with him. And now we sit together in the heavenly places. Physically? No. Here we are. Spiritually? Think about Colossians 3:1. You can remember it. Since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And I believe it goes on to say where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. Spiritually, we're there. And that's our true identity. The world's trying to get us to sit down at all these other tables. You know, good looks and intellect and money and all these distractions of forms of righteousness and good works and everything else. Because here's a very simple truth. Most Christians, myself included, we make a critical error at times, and that's trying to walk in order to be able to sit. Okay? Listen, most Christians make the mistake of trying to walk in order to be able to sit. But that is really a reversal of the true order, because our natural reason says, if we do not walk, how can we ever reach the goal? What can we attain without effort? How can we ever get anywhere if we do not move? And this is the culture we're in. This is what we've grown up in. This is part of how it's been. If at the outset we try to do anything, we get nothing. If we seek to attain something, we miss everything. For Christianity begins not with a big do, but with a big done. And that's why Ephesians opens with the statement that God, in Ephesians 1:3, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and that we at that point are invited to sit down and to enjoy what God has done for us, not to set out to try and to attain it for ourselves in our own strength, our own good works, the things that we do or don't do. You know, the Christian life from start to finish is based upon this principle of utter dependence upon God. There's no limit to the grace God is willing to bestow upon us. He'll give us everything, but we can't receive any of it. We won't receive any of it except as we learn to rest, as we learn to sit, as we learn to take our rightful place. You see, sitting, which I assume most of you are doing right now, it's an attitude of rest. It's something that has been finished. Work stops. We sit. Now listen to this. It's paradoxical, but true, that we only advance in the Christian life as we learn, first of all, to sit down. So what does that mean, sit down? Well, when we walk or stand, we bear on our legs all the weight of our own body, but when we sit down, our entire weight rests upon the chair or couch on which we're sitting, and which you're probably doing right here at this moment. We grow weary when we walk or stand, but we feel rested when we have sat down for a while. When you walk, you stand, you expend quite a bit of energy, but when, you know what, we're seated, we begin to relax because the strain no longer falls upon us, upon our muscles and upon our nerves, but upon something outside of ourselves. Well, listen, so it also true in the spiritual realm. To sit down is simply to rest our whole weight, our load, ourselves, our future, everything upon the Lord. We let Him bear the responsibility and cease to carry it ourselves. So what is the secret strength of the Christian life? From where does it derive its power? Well, Watchman Nee, in his book, Sit, Walk, Stand, The Process of Christian Maturity, gives this answer. He says the Christian secret is his rest in Christ. His power derives from his God-given position. All who sit can walk, for in the thought of God, the one follows the other spontaneously. We sit forever with Christ, that we may walk continuously before men. If we forsake for a moment our place of rest in Him, and immediately we are tripped, our testimony in the world becomes marred. But abide in Christ, and our position there ensures the power to walk worthy of Him here. The Christian secret is his rest in Christ. Accept the invitation, please. You're the guest of honor. Sit at the table. Come to the table. Depend upon the Master to meet your every need. For He truly does have your best interest in mind. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for these wonderful words of encouragement, strength, and blessing as we read Your Word, Father, that they just saturate our minds, our hearts, and that believing You, Father, it's just not that hard. We make it hard. So help us to see the simplicity of this, to just have that great restfulness, Father, as we come to the table, we come to this great banquet, this great event, free of charge, because we're the ones that belong. We don't have to prove anything. We've already been accepted because of our belief, our faith, in what Jesus has done on our behalf. And we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your grace and mercy tonight. And for everybody who's dialed in, may they have a blessed and restful night. In Christ's name, amen.